Last Sunday in the gospel, we heard one of Jesus' predictions of his passion, his death and his resurrection. That prediction went to his disciples. Today we heard in the gospel Jesus's another prediction of his passion, death, and resurrection. And Jesus will predict it again a third time in the Gospel of St. Mark. Each time, Jesus not only predicts his passion and his death, but afterwards gives some teaching about the implication for our own lives. So last Sunday, after his passion prediction, we heard Jesus say, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Today, after Jesus' passion prediction, because the 12 were discussing which of them was the greatest, Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." And after his third prediction, since James and John asked for the seats on either side of Jesus in his kingdom, Jesus will say, "Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant." So each time Jesus predicts his passion, he also connects it with how we are to live our lives. Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection are not isolated from how we live our lives, but indeed have implications concerning our daily lives. That is because Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection were not isolated in his own life. One scholar once said, "Jesus got himself crucified because of the way he ate." A-T-E, ate. By that he meant that Jesus was killed because of his frequent meals and association with tax collectors and other notorious sinners. In a recent gospel, we saw Jesus' humble servant attitude as he challenged the thinking of the time when he welcomed a child into the community, something that would not have been done at his time. I'm going to remind you of that gospel right now. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to the disciples, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And then he took the children into his arms, placed his hands upon them, and blessed them. For many years in the Episcopal Church, I kept telling people, if you quit hearing the sounds of children in the pews, giggling, crying, wiggling, and all the other things that come with little children, when you have heard the last of that sound, you're not far from the last of the life of your church. Always remember that. Always remember that when we quit hearing the children, we're at one generation from losing the church. Jesus mixing with those on the margins of society and his miracles irked the authorities so much that they plotted against him. the way Jesus lived his life and ate his lunch and ate supper led to his passion, his death, and his resurrection. He was goodness incarnate. And wherever there is great good, I promise you, evil is always lurking someplace in the background. And that's what led to Jesus' death. We heard today that the disciples did not understand Jesus' prediction of his passion, his death and resurrection. One of them misunderstood more than others. I would suggest that one was Judas, who did not have the humble servant attitude of Jesus. He did not understand that Jesus' kingdom would not involve expelling the Romans from Palestine. That's what Judas wanted. Judas plotted with the Jewish leaders to have Jesus arrested, most likely in the hope that it would force Jesus' hand, and then Jesus would act and use his divine power in the way that Judas wanted it, to expel the Romans from Palestine. But that was not Jesus' way of living. So Jesus went to the cross. The way Jesus lived his life, his very life, led to his death. Judas lived and thought in a way that was disconnected from Jesus' way of living. The result was absolutely disastrous. If we ever try to live disconnected from Jesus, disconnected from his way of living, I promise you, 40-some years of dealing with people, the result is not good. We heard an example of it in the second reading several weeks ago from the letter of St. James to the early church. And in it he said, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. Judas's problem was ambition. He was ambitious for an earthly kingdom. How true the words were in Judas's case. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is indeed disorder and every foul practice. On the other hand, when we do not live disconnected from Jesus, St. James tells us the wisdom from above is first of all pure, and peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy, good works, without inconstancy or insincerity. So living united with Jesus helps bring about peace, gentleness, mercy, good fruits, and sincerity. Who would not want that? But it's not driving out the Romans or fulfilling any modern day ambition. But it is even more beautiful, the peace, the gentleness, the mercy, the good fruits, and the sincerity. And I promise you, folks, with all that we've been through and everything we see on the evening news, there's a place in our hearts where we desperately, desperately seek peace and gentleness. The way Jesus lived his life led to his passion, his death, and his resurrection. And we saw a similar example in the first reading of a couple of weeks ago. In that reading, from a couple of centuries before Jesus, people felt challenged by someone just living a just and honest life. I guess when I was a kid, we'd have called him a goody two-shoes. Just being a decent human being. So what did they do? They ganged up against him. They mocked him, saying God would deliver him from his enemies. And then the reading concluded with the gang even condemning that innocent man to death. They wanted to silence the good man for no other reason than he was good. So that reading was really a prophecy of Jesus' passion and death. And unfortunately, it continues to be a prophecy of life in this world, even to the point where in the morning news we were greeted with the fact that 17 missionaries and their families, including their children, were kidnapped and are being held hostage by a gang in Haiti. The morning news today. Those folks back then jeered at the good man. And we read in the gospel stories that Jesus was on the cross. Three different groups or individuals mocked and jeered at Jesus. They tried to silence and kill goodness itself, to silence the gospel, to silence God. We see various attempts today in our own culture to silence goodness, to silence the gospel, to silence God Himself. And yes, they might appear to succeed for a time. But God cannot be silenced. Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. And God's kingdom will succeed even if for a time it appears smaller in the world and looks as if it has lost all its power and potency. There is a reason why Catholic priests in training are steeped in church history, because we've seen it before, all the way back to the boss, all the way back to the Roman Empire, and over again the world has tried to silence goodness, and over again we're still here. And that particular group or regime is lost in the trash pile of history. So in the face of attempts to drown out the gospel, even if God's kingdom will appear to continue, maybe to shrink or lose, we simply continue to witness to Jesus, trusting in Almighty God. That is why we have the audacity this morning to baptize three young ones. I think it would make the heart of Jesus happy. Even in the worst times, the church continues to welcome Jesus, children in the name of Jesus, and baptize them into His church and into His kingdom. Jesus went to His passion, death, because of the way He lived. He got Himself crucified because of the way He ate. Jesus' passion and death have implications for how we live our lives. The only way to live is with Jesus, even when it means the cross. If ever we try to live disconnected from Jesus, try to silence goodness, try to silence the gospel, try to silence God Himself, the result is never good. But living united with Jesus helps all of us to bring about peace and gentleness and mercy and good fruits and sincerity. And in just a few moments, we're going to have three more warriors for the Christian faith. And so we pray for them. Amen.